now at Polytech. You're going to have to, Kwantlen Polytech, along with Dr. Kent Mullenix on this presentation. And Rebecca, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us this morning. So I'm Rebecca Harbit. I'm at Kwantlen Polytechnic University, which I'll tell you a little bit more about as just to start the conversation out. We're located in British Columbia in Canada on what's called Sea Island in the city of Richmond. And Sea Island is a pretty urban place. And if we overlay it here, that red box there is where KPU is. So we're very much at the in the heart of the city, but we also have agricultural land in that region. So we're at this really interesting place of this interface between agricultural land and a very quickly growing city and region that's under a lot of pressure. You may know Vancouver is if not the most expensive city in North America to live in right now. So land values are quite a premium. So being a farmer there is a little bit tricky. We started a sustainable agriculture program. It began actually in 2012. And so this talk is a little bit of a reflection on some of the processes we've gone through and thinking of what is our role as a university in this place, in a city, starting a sustainable agriculture program. And we've had a lot of fascinating conversations and discussions with ourselves and community members as well. And all of us that are in the program come from the land grant system, and they're kind of familiar with this, which we do not have in Canada. We don't have an extension service, we don't have a land grant, so it's a whole different ball game. So this is sort of what our big drive was, right? To empower and inspire individuals to become engaged change makers that are equipped to tackle the challenge of reimagining our food system for tomorrow. And that is all we want to do, right? Reimagine the food system. So we started off in 2012, and there's a reason I'm telling you how we started, but we'll get to that. We had no facility, so we had no lab, we had no farm. I was the only faculty member when we started. Kent Mullenix was the director of a research institute, and we had a farm manager, which I think is funny. The university funded a farm manager position when we had no farm, but I was glad for that. And we had a tiny budget. And we were going to teach students how to farm and foster a regional food system. We also were doing this in the context of what people feel about universities today, especially millennials coming in and some of the young people that are really engaged in sustainability, that are really going through some questions around the value of post-secondary education and the cost of it, and what am I going to do for that? And, you know, especially if you're looking at an agriculture, you're going to go into the lucrative business of agriculture. I'm going to take on debt to go to university so that I can be a poor farmer, right? So this context was also really haunting us of what on earth are we going to tell them to convince them to come to this little university that has nothing and really can't really base our reputation on anything because we haven't done it yet. So it posed all these questions of where are we as a university? What is our job in this community? And how on earth, given this huge problem of our food system globally and regionally, do we even begin to take some of this apart? Where do you start to just chip away at some of these questions? So we also know we're in the information age, right? The great answer to all of the university's problems is just go online. Isn't that the case? We've all been told, like, oh, this would be a great online course, right? No, it wouldn't. It would be a terrible online course. So John Hennessy, the president of Stanford a while back, said there's change coming. Technology has to be part of that solution, a big part. We've seen the emergence of all these MOOCs, all kinds of open access online learning, which is really fantastic. There's lots of great stuff to it. So technology plays a really powerful role and probably will into the future. It has to. It's part of where we're going. But it still leaves that question of who's creating the knowledge, where is it coming from, how are we actually interpreting all of this that's coming at us? Because it just means there's that much more knowledge that is now out there and accessible. So let's think about then regional food systems, sustainable regional food systems. they're place-based. And so therefore they're going to be different in place, every place that you go to, right? There is an element of place when you think of a regional food system. The commodity or the commonality in all of these is the requirement of community. It doesn't matter what that food system looks like. There has to be a community that is around it that actually allows that food system to function. And that piece is the one thing that of all the things that we explored and thought about, well, what is it? What is it? What is it that we really need people to understand? That's actually what it is. It's actually the concept of community. It's, you can, and all those technical things are really critical too, but community and a concept and an understanding, a deep understanding of community is absolutely critical. So it's all about relationships. So I actually teach a first year course, and I spend a ridiculous amount of time talking about relationships. And it seems so out of place in an agricultural degree program, but it has become such a critical component to what we do is relationships. And actually, in our working group earlier, the whole concept of and the importance of relationships came up. You can't really get away from a successful food system without having relationships. So who are these people you're going to have relationships with then? They're producers, they're municipal governments, community organizations, they're churches, they're kids groups, they're all those people that actually live in the region in which your food system exists. The retail sector, consumers as sort of a subset of that community group. And what does a relationship with them look like? So I, the university, I actually have to admit I have an advantage because we were not an established land-grant university. And it has actually created this really fascinating opportunity because there is zero historical context or baggage around agriculture in our university, which has been a bigger component than I would have realized, actually, is how important that historical relationship with the community is with an institution as well. And sometimes you have to start at just that, as I'm sure some of you are familiar with. So your relationship has to be more than an advisory committee. We're all really good at putting together advisory committees where we invite all the key sectors and we allow them to engage with this process, and they're really valuable, but it has to be more than that. You have to have a shared common vision. So if I know I've got a relationship with someone, who am I actually going to have that common vision with? What are we seeing together? It can be really hard to do this. The details on how you get there might be, you know, different, but understand that the goal is this. Do we all agree on this? Yeah. Then we can go through a lot of different things if we can agree we're going to the same place. We have the same desire. Shared resources and co-creation of knowledge. So shared common vision, I'll give you an example. The city of Richmond, which is where we live, had an OCP, an official community plan, and in there they articulated they support and want to foster regional food systems. So we went to them and said, we'd like to help you do that. We'd like to make a farm on your land. And we basically put a proposal in to say, hey, you put this as a policy. You're doing nothing as a city to actually do it. Let us help you do it. And believe it or not, we actually ended up getting, this is a parcel of land that's 140 acres right in the middle of downtown Richmond. And they gave 20 acres of that to us to build a farm on. And so now, actually, we don't own that land. They own that land. We don't pay lease for it, but we have an agreement on what that looks like, which is a risk on the university's part, for sure. It's a risk on the city's part, but it's a shared resource, and now we both have a vested interest in making this work in a really meaningful way. And it was a way for them to be held accountable to what they actually articulated as a governance body in that official community plan. And there's been a lot of conversations with the community members and taxpayers that paid for that land on what we're using it for. Another example is the Tawasin First Nations. We've partnered with them. They had a land claim that was settled in British Columbia, and so they had this land, and they said, man, we really want a way to teach our people how to farm the land again. Can we partner with you? Great. Let's partner. And so we've actually got another 20-acre farm there, where we work with them and have their community members actually teach indigenous food ways, different crops, And we also teach our agricultural knowledge and small-scale production systems in that farm. And we've had a huge amount of influence on the region outside of just the TFN community. There's been a great interest. And now we have 5 other First Nations that have come to us and asked us, man, can we partner with this as well? So this is what the farm looks like now. We have started, we're 10 acres are done, and we're moving in, and we're right in the middle of downtown. And the conversations that have begun to happen are really astounding. You have to have engaged participants. If you start spending taxpayer dollars right in front of their faces and using land right in front of their faces, they will engage. But we really have had to put a lot of effort in facilitating what that engagement looks like so that those conversations around sustainability and community can be had and actually can be internalized in a way that is not just about, well, is it local? Yeah, it's local. No, but what are we actually getting to? What is the heart of what we're talking about when it comes to sustainability? The co-creation of knowledge as well. This is a huge one. We can't just be the knowledge creators that we're imparting. We're actually co-creating knowledge. So we have members in the community that actually need to be participating in what that food system looks like. There's no way that you can just come up with it outside of involving half the members of the community without and expect that they're just going to accept it when you come to it, right? The idea that you're going to train a change maker is a really critical concept, I think. We absolutely have to give them the technical skills, and we focus on small-scale organic food production. That has to be there. That's a critical component. But equally important is an understanding of the social, the economic, the political context that they're in. What informs our food system? They have to have a deep understanding of what sustainability looks like. And they have to have a deep understanding of the importance of community. And if they can experience that while they're doing their university degree, it becomes that much more meaningful on what you can do with those partnerships. And I think because our students have seen that we have a farm because of these partnerships, we would have none of it if we were trying to do it as an institution on our own. And yet we're actually able to move forward very quickly. We still need to do data, however. So that's still a really critical component that, and one that the university plays for sure. I have some books here with me. We just wrapped up a bioregional food systems project, and this is an example, and you're welcome to take a copy with you, of working with the community. So we actually had over $100,000 of funding that came from municipal governance, local companies. There was no big grant associated with it. And we put together, the Institute, the Research Institute, put together a model, basically. They modeled out what does this region look like given this land base, given the types of crops we can grow under different scenarios. And it has become a really great way to have data that we can now use and have awesome conversations with policymakers, with governments, with all kinds of community groups that has real data of their town that talks about land use in their town. And land use always gets people really jazzed about stuff. Oh, and I'll just mention that on August 9th to 10th next year, there'll be a place-based food systems conference in Vancouver, actually. And the website should be up. There's some cards. I'll leave them on the back as well that you can pick up. I think I'm done.